Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Christmas Eve edition of the Hoosier Report. We are live and local today, and so glad that you are with us here on this Monday. A lot of things to talk about. IU coming out of the weekend with an 11-2 record as they head into Big Ten Conference play, which begins January 3rd with a home game against Illinois. I think the general thought with this IU team is they are due a break. They are due some relaxation. They are due the opportunity to spend Christmas at home, a couple days of relaxation before they get into what will be, no question about it, a very difficult conference season, a very fun but competitive conference season, and lots of positives coming through the non-conference schedule. Some big wins for Indiana, and I think that most fans, most people that follow IU basketball, would be very pleased back in October if we said Indiana will get to the Christmas break with an 11-win, 2-loss record. I think everyone would be pretty pleased with that record. And that's where they're at. Tough start to the Big Ten Conference for the Hoosiers. We'll be breaking that down coming up very soon. But I tell you what, an opportunity comes with that tough start to get some big wins out of the way early. Of course, going to Michigan, their second conference game when things restart in January will be a very big challenge for this team. But will be a lot of fun to follow, and we are into conference basketball. There are some games, of course, Indiana off, but there are some games over the Christmas holiday in between Christmas and New Year. Of course, a lot of those primetime slots will be reserved for college football bowl games and NFL and other items. But when the first of the year gets here, it's basically college conference basketball season. So a lot of good basketball to be played out there. But Indiana finishes it off in the non-conference season on Saturday night, 94-64, 11-2 overall, and of course 2-0 in Big Ten Conference. We still can't get used to the fact that all Big Ten teams with this new 20-game schedule have already played two conference games, and Indiana was able to take care of business in both of those contests and start with this New Year's slate with a 2-0 record. Couple things to get to today. We'll obviously talk a lot about Indiana's win and generally kind of where this team is at. I want to use the next couple days, and we'll be off tomorrow because of Christmas, but back with you on Wednesday. But I want to use this week to talk about some items, maybe away from specific games, where this team is at, what things need to happen for Indiana to find major success in the Big Ten season, which is going to be very difficult. I don't think anyone thinks the Big Ten is going to be an easy deal. There will not be many easy games, very, very few, if any, in the Big Ten Conference this year for all teams. That's not just for Indiana, but that is for all teams. So a lot to get to today. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Romeo Langford in town, and I know there's been some different spottings of him. He was at one of the malls yesterday, I presume getting a little Christmas shopping in. Earlier this morning, he was at the Doghouse in New Albany. We'll talk about that in our headlines. Also, the IU game, some highlights from the win, the performance. Juwan Morgan, a triple-double. We'll talk about that. And also, it's Monday, which means we'll recap high school basketball from the weekend. We'll hand out some hypothetical game balls, as we do each Monday here on the program, and take a look at some of the top performers over the weekend in high school basketball in segment one. Segment two, we'll be joined by Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach and I will recap the IU win over Jacksonville. We'll talk about Juwan Morgan's big day, some other highlights from that game game as well. And then we'll turn the page. We'll look ahead to the Big Ten Conference and really dive in to what the Big Ten race could look like. And I know we've spent a lot of time already talking about the stretch of games that Indiana has. I think the first five or six stretch of games there that in conference play when the new year gets here. We'll talk about that a little more and talk about the Big Ten as a whole as well. So that coming up with Zach Osterman later in the show. And we'll wrap things up today with Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSAA executive board member. Always fun to talk Southern Indiana sports and a lot of basketball with Chad when he joins us on Monday. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Hoosier headlines, our top headlines, Southern Indiana News of the Day, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. For IU the other night, 94-64. Of course, everything was highlighted by Jawan Morgan's triple-double. Only the second in IU basketball history. That is really, really hard to believe that all the great players, all the big performances, that there have only been two now with Jawan's on Saturday night, two triple-doubles in the history of IU basketball. And I was telling someone as I was watching the game, you know, I would have bet a lot more that Jawan Morgan would have a game with 20 points and 10 rebounds than the fact that he would have a triple-double with 10 assists. That is what is extremely impressive, I think, about what he did on Saturday. We know Jawan Morgan can score. We know Jawan Morgan can rebound. I don't think anyone's terribly surprised, especially that Indiana starts the ball often with Jawan in the post, that he's able to pass out and get some assists. But I think the fact that he reached 10 in one game is absolutely remarkable. I saw, I don't know, maybe three-fourths of the way through the game, he had 7 assists, which that was a career high for him. So not only did he set a career high, but he passed it up by 3. 10 assists on top of his points and rebounds for a triple-double for Jawan Morgan. I think heading into the full conference schedule, a triple-double performance from Jawan Morgan just kind of sums up exactly all that we've been saying about him and all the discussion we've had about the leadership he brings and what all he does for this team. Whatever it takes, he's willing to do it, and he's got the skill and leadership abilities to get it done. A 10 assist in a game for a guy at his position is very impressive, and it was a completely impressive night for him. He did a little bit of everything in a game that Indiana won easily after a slow start, and he did everything in a game that IU was able to maybe get some different players in a bit, still able to not just score some points, not just pull some rebounds down, but distribute the basketball, pass the ball well out of the post. Again, Indiana starts the possession as quickly as they can many times with Jawan having the basketball in the paint area. So he had some opportunities early to pass out. Some guys knocked threes down, and it went well for him. And it eventually, after a slow start, went very well for Indiana in that game on Saturday night as well. For Indiana, now they've got Illinois. And, of course, that is the maybe easier game in the opening few week and a half or two of Big Ten Conference play for the team. Of course, it's at home as well. Getting back to the game Saturday, just a couple other things I want to say before we get too far gone. One of the cool things about Saturday, and I think about this team, is that when Jawan Morgan reached that final basket he needed to have 10 points, which put him in triple-double category, he was taken out of the game. No surprise there. Late in the game, get some other guys playing time. Archie Miller drew a play coming out of the timeout for Jawan to get the basket and get the triple-double, and it worked very well. But as he was coming out, Romeo Langford at the free throw line, and as he gets the ball even from the official, he's taking time to clap his hands, obviously in honor of his teammates. So I think that's a good sign about this team, not just Romeo, but the whole team up, giving him a standing ovation, even the players on the court, as you would expect. But I thought a pretty good sign that you can see the camaraderie of this team as they've played now through the non-conference schedule, that a lot of support, whether you're a senior, whether you're a freshman, whether you're a starter, whether you're not, as you would expect a college basketball team to be a well-oiled machine and to be a team that everyone knows their roles. Indiana obviously showing that publicly on Saturday night. One other thing about the game as well, this had nothing at all to do with the actual game, But tragic news on Friday, unfortunately somewhat expected news with what's transpired over the last five, 6 days or so. But Terry Hutchins, former Indianapolis Star columnist, wrote a lot about IU sports football and, of course, tons of basketball in his years, then went to work for CNHI. We read his work locally in the News and Tribune here in New Albany and Jeffersonville, Floyd County and Clark Counties, passed away on Friday. He had an accident earlier in the week. It appears to be a stroke, was what was reported, and in grave condition, and passed away on Friday. So what a guy, what a media person to look up to, someone that covered the team in the right way. He asked the tough questions when the tough questions needed to be asked, but he obviously behind the scenes was very much, I think, supportive of Indiana and did a lot not only to help cover the team and for fans and others to follow the team, but did a lot to help young journalists as well. A lot of the college newspaper writers at Bloomington, some of the young writers that would get hired on the IU beat, he was a big part of helping them learn the routine, learn some things behind the scenes, and a great tribute to Terry Hutchins before the start of the game on Saturday. He received, following the moment of silence, a round of applause, a standing ovation before the IU team took the floor. But a very nice tribute, I thought, by IU to do that. And if you've paid any attention to this at all, there have been multiple coaches, whether it be on social media or to open or close their press conferences at other Big Ten teams, that had gotten to know Terry over the years and were thankful, even though he wasn't covering their school, but for the way that he handled business. And he will be someone that will be gravely and sorely missed on the IU beat. Years and years of great IU basketball and IU athletics coverage from Terry at a number of different outlets. Wrote a lot of books on IU, even some children's books as well around the program, and just a great guy that will be missed. So it was great to see a moment of silence for him and for him to have the opportunity to be honored on Saturday at the game. Let's take a look at some high school basketball notes over the weekend. Floyd Central with a close game. They're able to beat Indianapolis Roncalli 53-48, but it was very close on the Highlanders' home floor on Saturday. Leading the way for Floyd Central in a tough game was Kobe Barnes. He had another big outpouring performance of 31 points to lead the Highlanders, who are now 7-1 heading into Christmas. We'll hand a hypothetical game ball to Kobe Barnes for his effort over the weekend in a very close game. And Roncalli has been really good. They're a 4A school out of Indianapolis, a private school, a Catholic school. They've got a 2-5 record this year after the Floyd Central game. However, I think it's actually 3-5 now. They played Lanesville later in the day and were victorious in that contest. But they are well coached. They're very organized, a difficult team to play against, and Floyd Central had a real challenge with them on Saturday. Also on Friday, New Albany goes to Indianapolis Pike. Big game for New Albany. After losing recently to Floyd Central and then last weekend to Carmel, the Bulldogs needed a big win. Pike, a great program in Indiana high school basketball and a tough place to play on the road, and behind a big, big performance from Julian Hunter. He had 26 points and 9 rebounds for the Bulldogs to lead the way. That's by far his career high and his biggest output of his junior year. New Albany won 76-73. Big momentum game for New Albany as they will now head to a 2-day holiday tournament later this week after Christmas in Noblesville, where they're likely going to play some very tough 4A competition there as well. We'll give a game ball to Julian Hunter. He played very well. Also, Landon Sprigler, 18 points. He's not really known on this Bulldogs roster as a big scorer, but he had a terrific offensive game for New Albany on the big win Friday with 18 points in that contest for the Bulldogs as they win at Indianapolis Pike. Couple other big performances and notes to pass along. Jeffersonville bounced back after losing to Southwestern Hanover last Saturday night. They took on another good lower-level program, and I say lower, I mean non-4A. Southridge is a big school, a 3A school, but not 4A, still very, very good. They have a chance to make a run, much like Southwestern Hanover does in 2A, in 3A, and Jeff wins at 60-51, despite the fact that they were missing a couple key players who did not play in the game, leading the way and taking advantage of the opportunity with Trey Coleman and Jacob Jones out for the Red Devils was Darren Starks. He had 25 points, and I think it's very important to note this. He's a transfer in for Jeffersonville, his first major performance, although he's been building up to this. He's had some good shooting nights. He's had some double-digit games recently for the Red Devils, but he took advantage of the opportunity to stand up and be the star with 25 points, so we'll hand Darren Starks a hypothetical game ball today. And I tell you what, for Darren, if he can become that third scorer for Jeffersonville, that third star for Jeffersonville, that puts them on a whole nother level. Of course, that's what Coach Luce has been looking for this season, and Darren takes an opportunity with some of the other key players out to have a big, big night in the win for the Red Devils. Also, a game ball will go to Jacob Robinson of Borden. The Braves got their second win of the season over the weekend against Shaw Memorial of Madison, thanks in large part to the effort by Robinson. Also, Henryville lost in the Jefferson County Invitational Tournament on Friday night to Southwestern, who we know is a very good 2A team. 5-point loss. So the Hornets, who struggled, just one win so far this season, very competitive against Southwestern, who beating Henryville is now 8-0. Leading the way once again, Cade Badger, another huge scoring performance for Henryville. He had 25 points, and we'll give him a hypothetical game ball as well. So some big performances over the weekend, some big wins from local teams. And now we get ready for more holiday basketball. Silver Creek Holiday Tournament coming up later this week. The Dragons, the big favorite in that event. Also, I mentioned New Albany will be at Noblesville. They'll open with Crown Point and have the opportunity to play Lawrence Central and some other big 4A teams in that tournament coming up Thursday and Friday. And some other big games as well. And of course, as I said last week before we signed off, we're not far from New Albany Jeffersonville, coming right out of the holiday break, just a couple days back in school for our local student athletes. It'll be New Albany Jeff at William S. Johnson Arena coming up here in just less than a couple weeks. So a lot of fun basketball ahead, always true around the holiday time. And we've got some good ones ahead of us coming up here over the next couple weeks. That's the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head out to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll recap IU's big win to close out non-conference play over Jacksonville, and we'll turn the page now that the full Big Ten slate is just ahead for this Indiana team. Stay with us for that next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Monday show. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us. We're going to recap IU's win on Saturday night. Turn the page to the full Big Ten schedule coming up with Zach here in this segment. Zach, I got to say, though, Juwan Morgan, a great performance on a very well-rounded great performance on Saturday night, but I was surprised it's only the second triple-double ever in IU basketball history. Does that surprise you at all?
Yeah, I was actually really surprised to learn that Indiana had only ever had one. It was Steve Downing in 1971. And I know that a triple-double is obviously a rare thing in some regards, but you just sort of imagine that over the course of time, you know, with the number of great teams and great players Indiana's had, the law of large numbers would say that, you know, they'd have more than two triple-doubles now. But it also then speaks to, you know, just how special that performance was, as you said, by Juwan Morgan, that he's able to land just the second in program history. And I think it's the first on points, rebounds, and assists. Downing's was points, rebounds, and blocks.
Interesting, interesting. Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Let's talk about the win for IU. They won by 30 points, got some playing time to other guys and rest for some of the key players, for some of the starters, as you would hope in a non-conference game against a mid-level opponent. But it still was a slow start for Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, that is – it wasn't quite as bad as Central Arkansas. I'm struggling to remember who all these guarantee games are at this point. They're all blending together. It wasn't quite as bad as Central Arkansas, but it still clearly was not quite where Indiana needs to be in terms of the I guess just the early intensity, the early spark. And what's interesting to me is it feels like there have been times when we haven't seen Indiana play well offensively to start. And then there are also times where we haven't seen Indiana play well defensively to start. This was maybe a little bit more of the latter. But the way Indiana nearly always kind of digs itself out is with defense. And, you know, Central Arkansas, like I said, it felt anyway just kind of in the gym in real time, like a poorer start than Jacksonville. Indiana then holds Central Arkansas scoreless for 9.5 minutes at one point in the first half. And that's how Indiana gets its arms around the game and really takes control. Again, I thought Jacksonville was a little bit sharper. Archie Miller said they spent a lot of time in film study just looking at the first 4 or 8 minutes of Central Arkansas, trying to diagnose what went wrong, trying to get better there. Even then, Jacksonville goes almost 7 minutes without scoring at one point in the first half, and you feel like that's when Indiana really takes control of the game, sets the tone, and kind of decides, this is what we're doing, and this is the way that you're going to have to just sort of, you know, deal with it for the rest of the evening. And I think, look, Indiana's got to get this fixed in one respect. I don't think anyone would argue that, because once you get to Big Ten play, if you aren't sharp coming out, they're going to be nights where that's unforgiving, especially on the road. On the other hand, I do think it's encouraging that this is a team that seems to understand how to dig itself out of those situations with defense first. And I think that's really important as well, because, you know, it's the old cliche, but defense goes anywhere with you. Defense travels. Defense doesn't take a night off. Defense isn't something where it's like, oh my gosh, you know, there's four players who just aren't playing defense tonight. It's not like shooting. It's not like relying on the three and that sort of thing. It really is something that can be reliable for you basically everywhere as long as you're healthy and fresh. And so I think in one respect, Indiana's got to get this figured out. I don't dispute that at all. In another, I think it is encouraging if you're Indiana that the way that you've maybe righted your own ship in some of these situations, especially recently, has been with your defense.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, our guest. This is a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. One of the other things we got to talk about going back to Saturday's game is that all five starters for IU reached double figures. And how about Al Durham? A great game for him, 18 points.
You know, what's interesting to me is, first of all, you're right about Al Durham, and I don't think I just made the contention on, you know, the podcast that I record every week that we're not talking about Al Durham enough. He's shooting the three really well. He's shooting free throws really well, which is obviously important for this team. He's scored 9 or more points, I think 7 of 13 times so far this season, and that 18 points obviously is a game high. It's also a career high. But he's a guy that, going back to Hoosier Hysteria and even the exhibition, you know, you kept sort of saying, wow, he looks better than I thought he would. Maybe he'll have more of a role this year than I imagined. All of a sudden, he's basically one of the first names in the starting lineup every night, and it doesn't seem like that's going to change. But as a wider kind of look at the offense, you know, Indiana's offense is it's not elite, but it's solid. They're second best in the country, I believe, in two-point field goal percentage, fifth in the country in effective field goal percentage. They're top five in just traditional field goal percentage across the entire NCAA Division I. They're shooting 37% from behind the arc, which isn't, again, it's not an elite number, but it's much better than last year, and it's a top 70 number nationally right now. They're 34th in the country in adjusted efficiency offensively, according to Ken Pomeroy, and yet Archie Miller just keeps hammering on the idea that he doesn't think Indiana's offense is anywhere near where it can be and where it needs to be. And that's fascinating to me, because if he genuinely believes that, then I'm very curious to see how much Indiana can grow over the course of obviously the rest of the season. But I would even say with this gap here, how much is there a tangible change basically in the way this team can score the ball and play offense from now to, let's say, the middle of January when they've played, you know, four or five Big Ten games and really gotten back in the groove of playing in the conference? Because if they can, then I think all of a sudden, if there really is another level for this offense to go up as a whole group, then I think we could be talking about a dark horse Big Ten title contender.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. 11-2, the record of the Hoosiers as they head into Big Ten Conference play, at least for the full schedule. I think if you told most fans at Christmas time it was going to be 11-2, the win-loss total for the Hoosiers, I think they'd be very pleased with that.
Yeah, I mean, that I remember kind of looking at win-loss totals, or at least kind of trying to project things out from just sort of a preseason neutral perspective. And I feel like 11-2 or 10-3 was where I sort of found myself falling on this team. And you always imagine the Duke game would be difficult. You always imagine the Arkansas game would probably be difficult. You know, obviously they win four straight by a single possession. And so you can kind of say, well, yes, that's really good for a close game. On, you know, it's also maybe something that you can't just count on winning every single close game that you're in. But the big thing for me is, as much as anything else, Indiana takes care of business everywhere it needs to. You know, it gets a somewhat favorable start to Big Ten play with Northwestern at home and Penn State on the road in those two games in December. It wins them both. You know, it can't win at Duke, and it falls obviously just short in that early test at Arkansas, but it makes up for that by winning all four of those games in December after Duke, just to make sure you're getting quality out of the schedule. It puts that big performance in against Marquette that continues, frankly, to improve and continues to look better and better for Indiana. And it doesn't slip up against anybody else. And I know that there's not maybe, you know, we thought maybe like that UT Arlington game or the UC Davis game would be a little bit more difficult, or maybe one of these games around Christmas after Butler, when the schedule came out, you thought might be a little bit more difficult than it turned out to be. But I think it's still important that despite some injuries and obviously despite the youth, this is the first time in 5 years Indiana exits its non-conference season without a sub-100 KenPom loss. And I think that it's important, too, that Indiana basically has essentially no bad losses on its resume, as well as some quality and really more than that, quantity wins. For a team that's had to fight with the injury bug and, frankly, still fighting with it, for a team that did have to adapt a lot of young players in, I think that's a really good sign.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, our guest. Zach is with us Mondays talking IU basketball. With what this team has been through in every college basketball team, especially at the high major level, lots of travel, lots of grinding, and Indiana specifically has had a number of injuries to work through, and that still appears to be the case. I want to talk a little bit more about injuries here in just a second, but I'd say a great relief, even for the coaches, definitely for the players, to get a couple days away for the holiday with no practice, a time to relax and get basketball off of the mind before you come back here in a few days and have, of course, a very grueling start to the Big Ten Conference schedule.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting that you know, Indiana kind of voluntarily built that in. And, you know, you can imagine they could have maybe sacrificed a game earlier in the schedule. They could have tried to move a game around, you know, between Arkansas and Duke. They could have just, you know, simply played, let's say, Central Arkansas on the 21st and moved to Jacksonville to like the 28th. But I think that the way that this season has unfolded, I think it's good for them that they have that long break. They get 11 full days off between Jacksonville and Illinois. That gives them time, obviously, to get some guys potentially healthy. I think that's probably a big one if you're Archie Miller, is you're hoping that you had four guys out, four, you know, potential rotation or starting guys out against Jacksonville. You hope maybe you can get at least two of them back by the start of Big Ten play. But then you also get a chance for a young team to reset itself a little bit. Indiana's players are going to be home through the 26th. They'll come back on, I think, the 27th was what Archie Miller said. So they're going to have a stretch there where they're going to be able to really focus more on themselves and almost kind of triage and break down everything that they've seen in the 13 games they've played up till now, work on some things internally, and then start kind of folding in some Big Ten prep, some Illinois prep, maybe even kind of looking further down the line. as they get closer to the new year. And I think that for you know, a more experienced team maybe doesn't need that gap as much. But I think there's a lot of agency in this team, especially, again, if a couple of those guys can get healthy, getting this time to just work on itself and worry about itself and focus on just kind of its own thing and maybe just be able to step out of the game-to-game grind that you talked about in a way that normally you wouldn't be able to do even around the holiday.
Well, we know where Romeo was at. He was at New Albany High School for the Bulldogs' brief Christmas Eve practice earlier today. So he wasn't playing basketball, but he wasn't away from it very far either.
Well, and you still imagine, listen, these guys aren't going to go home and sit down on their couch and just eat a ton of pizza and you know, turkey and macaroni and cheese and whatever. But it also is, you know, talk to any one of these guys, it's nice to be able to just get that release for a second too, to just be able to put it down for a couple days, you know, get some workouts in, get some shots up, and that's fine, but also spend some time with your family, spend some time just to, again, away from the just sort of like the grind of it, because it is one of those, at least speaking as a reporter, there's times where you can kind of, you can put your head down and all of a sudden it's January 30th and you don't know how you even got there. You barely remember the road trips and you know, everything is just kind of come so mechanically. I think it's good for these guys, and especially maybe some of these young guys, to be able to just step away for 48 hours, 72 hours, and just sort of take a breath, be with their families, you know, be with their friends back home. And then again, when they come back, they also know they aren't going to be coming back and diving right into prep. They're going to be able to come back and work on maybe some bigger picture stuff, some fundamental stuff, some stuff that's much more focused on them than it is on just like, okay, we have to get ready for this next game and this next game and this next game.
Let's talk a little bit more about injuries. Zach McRoberts was in a warm-up suit, not the team warm-up, but just like travel gear, basically, and did not warm up with the team, obviously did not play in the game, and not a lot has been said about it. Any update on McRoberts?
Yeah, it's basically just kind of a flare-up of that back problem is what it sounds like, which is concerning in a way, because anybody who's ever had a back issue, whether it's, you know, athletic or just sort of day-to-day, it's not something, if it keeps coming back, that's a concern. On the other hand, you know, let's get to Illinois and see, because kind of trying to parse Archie Miller's words in his pregame radio show and maybe read between the lines a little bit, it was hard to tell how much of that was, you know, oh, this is bad, we've got to you know, really worry about this again, and how much of that was maybe saying, listen, this is Jacksonville, and Zach hasn't really maybe looked completely right even since he came back from the injury, and, you know, he was saying he was feeling some discomfort, so let's just sit him down and give him the added time to recover a little bit. I think what's concerning for Indiana at this point is you've obviously got Jerome Hunter is clearly a long-term injury concern. Race Thompson has been in concussion, you know, sort of protocol and recovery for so long that was clearly a pretty severe incident. You know, Archie Miller has sounded encouraged about Robert Phinisee, but you can't ever be positive with concussions. You can't know for sure that everything is just going to track at a certain sort of like, okay, by this point he'll be here, and by this point he'll be here, and by this point he'll be fine. And then you've got Zach McRoberts, who it just seems like this back problem just kind of keeps nagging him and keeps nagging him and keeps nagging him. And I think the concern if you're Indiana is these all start to feel a little bit like more indefinite injuries. And there's nobody that you can just kind of put a timetable on it and say by January 15, he'll be back. And so I think it's going to be telling where Indiana is health-wise coming out of this break. And I think from IU's perspective, you know, you're really hopeful that you can get at least a couple of those guys fresh for the Big Ten season.
We're talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. I saw your ballot. Of course, you're a voter in the Associated Press Top 25 Men's College Basketball poll. I saw your latest ballot. I love that you put it out there every week. IU was, 16th in at least your ballot for the poll that will come out later today?
Yeah, I had them 16th. I don't think they actually moved from last week, and that can kind of happen this time of year because once you start getting toward Christmas, you know, not a lot of people play really big games, and so there's not a ton of movement week to week because you see a lot of teams that just win, you know, win both, like do what Indiana did, where they play just kind of a couple schedule filler games. They win both comfortably. They head off for Christmas. And I don't think there's really many top 25 games, or at least matchups, coming over the next week or so. So I imagine they probably won't change a ton between now and New Year's either. But once you get into conference play, that's when what you see, I think, is kind of a solidifying of where everybody stands, because teams that maybe, you know, could just sort of skate by in the non-conference are going to get found out a little bit once the conference season starts and the level of competition turns up. You also get teams that maybe are a little bit hardened, you know, by playing tougher competition every night. You start to see a little bit more of their true selves. But it's always interesting to kind of look at the ballot here at the end of the year and then kind of look, you know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks from now and just sort of see, like, who did we think going into the heart of conference play across the country was going to be really good that wasn't? Who did we think was going to be really good that was? Who maybe snuck up on us a little bit? And I think in particular in the Big Ten, it's going to be fascinating because if I'm not mistaken, I think I had basically like Michigan, I think like third or fourth, Michigan State in the top 10, and then Ohio State, Wisconsin, Indiana, and Nebraska all stacked on top of one another in the teens. So with like Iowa and Maryland and even Minnesota kind of drifting around along the fringes of my ballot as well. So it's going to be a really interesting year in the conference.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, our guest. A quick look ahead at what's next for Indiana. It's not an easy stretch. You and I have spent some time talking about the Big Ten recently. We've spent some time talking about the start to the Big Ten Conference, or the restart, I should say, for IU with their first 4, 5, 6 games. Not easy. Illinois at home, followed by Michigan on the road. We know how tough that one will be. But kind of to hit it again, it's a very tough stretch, and I think Indiana will really find out what it's made of over the first few weeks of first couple weeks of January, we'll say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that really, frankly, for all of January, Indiana has Illinois at home on the third, and then 6 of their next 8 games are on the road. And among those 6 are Michigan, Purdue, I think Northwestern, Michigan State, and Maryland. And the only 2 home games in that stretch are Michigan and Nebraska. So, you know, you're basically after, first of all, you got to make sure you take care of business against Illinois, because that you can't, there are very few games in the Big Ten this season that look like, you know, that look like locks for wins, and you can't throw those away. Then after that, I mean, between January 6th at Michigan and February 2nd at Michigan State, that is a brutal, brutal run. And if Indiana could even just go like, frankly, even 4-4 in that stretch, I think it would feel good, because then you get past that, and once you get into February and March, Indiana plays only on the road only 3 times in its last 9 conference games, and those road games are Iowa, Minnesota, and I think Rutgers. So, you know, tougher, you know, every road game's tough, but that's not nearly the same as having to go to Michigan and then going to Purdue and then going to, you know, Michigan State and then going to Maryland and blah, 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 blah. Indiana's really going to kind of be tested by fire, to, you know, to lean on the old quote from January 6th until February 2nd. If they can come out of that just in any semblance of decent shape in the conference race, I think they've got a chance to make it interesting into February. But January is going to be a real slog for this team, and it's going to be one where if you're Archie Miller, you maybe are looking at this little gap between, you know, Christmas and New Year's essentially, and saying it really could be the quality of work that we do in this stretch that determines whether or not we can handle what's coming in January.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. Zach, I heard the little one in the background getting a little antsy with Christmas coming up. I hope you've got all those presents purchased and wrapped and under the tree ready to go.
He's actually upstairs, but he's I don't know what he's doing, but he's my wife's with him, and he's walking up there. He's kind of in that age where he realizes he can make noise, and so he just makes lots of noise because it's fun. So I don't know how much he's going to understand about Christmas tomorrow. My prediction is that he will find the paper much more interesting than the presents. But in fairness to him, there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. Enjoy it a lot. Great family time, I know. And we appreciate, as always, your insight on IU basketball. And we'll do it again next week. Have a great Christmas.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me, as always.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star. Lots of great coverage from him from the Saturday game. And, of course, daily on the IU Sports, as he covers as the IU Insider, I should say, for the Indianapolis Star at indystar.com/sports. Listen, first segment, I said Lanesville got beat by Indianapolis Ron Colley. Floyd Central beat them earlier in the day. I was wrong. Lanesville beat Indianapolis Ron Colley. I had it backwards, also by a 5-point margin. I've had a number of tweets from Lanesville fans. I even had one of my buddies calling me, leaving me a voicemail over the commercial break. I'm glad to know we've got some Lanesville supporters listening, and that was a huge win for the 1A Eagles to beat 4A Indianapolis Ron Colley on Floyd Central's court Saturday later in the day after the Floyd Central and Ron Colley game had been played that morning. So I want to make sure I get that right. Michael Miller, good friend at Lanesville, been there 19 years now, a terrific coach. They've got a really good 1A program year in and year out. So I don't want to slight my Eagles at all. Good people out there, and as always, another competitive team. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert. Chad's the Charlestown Athletic Director, also an IHSAA Executive Board member. We're going to talk basketball. You know that. We'll talk some other Southern Indiana sports headlines as well. Next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program, day before Christmas. Happy Christmas Eve to you, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, and also an IHSA Executive Board member. He's always with us on Mondays. This time of year, we're going to talk a lot of basketball when Chad and I hook up. You know that for sure. And, Chad, we saw Romeo Langford on his day off, or a few days off from Indiana, making his way back to New Albany. I know he was at one of the malls yesterday. There were people putting some photos up with him. And, of course, he's kind enough to stop and do that. But this morning at New Albany's practice, and I guess you can relate to this as a player that went off and played college basketball. There's got to be a good feeling coming back to the gym where you scored a lot of your points, where you made a lot of good memories. And I guess in Romeo's case specifically, you come back with your jersey and photo and other memorabilia hanging on the wall. I guess it's a saying of there's nothing like home, and that has to be the way he feels when he walks back in the doghouse.
Before we get talking on that subject, I've got to tell you, you're the hardest working man there is in the business. It's Christmas Eve, and you're out here busting it. This is our third Christmas party. We've played lots of Uno. We've had my daughter's hair in pigtails, rubbing my son's feet, lots of cookies, lots of fudge, put the eggnog down, and we're going to talk some sports today. It's exciting. One thing I want to tell you, though, the most exciting part of Christmas. You know, I'm very blessed. Got great family, great friends. But my mom and dad waited yesterday in the honey-baked ham line to get our honey-baked ham and our smoked turkey, so we're excited to put it down.
A great sponsor.
You know, Christmas is about giving. That's what Bam told Evie last night as we made Amy's gift. It's about giving, and we appreciate what you're giving Southern Indiana, man.
Thank you, and I appreciate shout-out to honey-baked ham.
Oh, anytime, my favorite place. But, you know, we talk about coming back home. It's a chance to come back home. You know, Romeo and those guys, they have been on a grind. You know, this thing just didn't start in November. Those guys haven't been home, you know, since, you know, you're talking early October when they're practicing, getting on. So they get a chance to come home. They get a chance to eat mama's cooking. They get a chance to hang out with their friends. They get a chance to sleep in their own bed. But, you know, what it's the best opportunity they get to do is they come home and they get to see their former teammates, their former coach. They understand why their coach has pushed them so hard. And then they get to tell the guys who are there now, say, you have no idea what pushing hard is. And it's fun to reflect on that one. But Romeo, in true Romeo fashion, everyone comes home and you see them in their college gear, you know, their team-issued gear. You're not going to see Romeo in any team-issued gear. You're going to see Romeo on some Yeezys. He always takes it to the next level. And that's what makes Romeo Langford special. But it's a great time to be home. You know, guys get to tie up some loose ends when they come home. They get to go to the mall. They get to hang out. It's a great time to just be away and get that break from that grind.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. And, of course, you know, you come back, you've got a couple days off, you've helped Indiana to an 11-2 record, you know, you've got some Christmas presents and food ahead of you. Got to be refreshing to have a couple days away, because as much as we talk about a grind that college basketball is, I can't imagine that the first half of the season will be anything like the Big Ten grind will be for the Hoosiers. And you can relate to that. You played the ball at a high level. You played Division II basketball on a national championship team. So there's no question about it that a few days off, I think, at this time of year would appeal to any college basketball player from any level.
Oh, what Romeo's going to get into, you know, these things have been fun when you're traveling to the big arenas. Now you're going in for a shoot-around first thing in the morning. You know, just a typical road game. You fly in the night before. You get settled in. You wake up the next morning, breakfast, then you go to shoot-around. And people who think shoot-around, you know, it's not knockout and horse. Shoot around, you're walking through and you're going through the scout of what you're going through that day. You go back, you get your study table in, you come back for pregame meal. And Matt, pregame meal is awful because it's the same thing time after time after time. You got pancakes, you got your beef patty, you got your iced tea, you got your scrambled eggs. They're trying to carve you up and get you ready for the game. I get that. But it's terrible. And that just gets old and old and old as the season goes on. But then what you got next is when you're on the road, they get a ballroom, and they take the court down in the ballroom so you can go through and you walk through your stuff. If you don't have a ballroom available, you're down south somewhere, you're going outside the parking lot, and there's going to be a court taped in the court so you can walk through that one. The preparation is unbelievable. The mental, you know, mental to physical is 4-1. The physical grind, it wears you out, but that mental thing of what you've got to do go through day in and day out, it's something that's not cracked up for everybody. You know, I always tell our kids up here at Charlestown, a lot of people can go and play at that next level. Not many can survive.
Chad Gilbert, our guest. Chad is with me on Mondays. High school basketball, I highlighted some of the happenings over the weekend. I thought big wins by New Albany and Jeffersonville specifically. Floyd Central had a tough challenge on Saturday morning, but some big performances as well. Kobe Barnes, Julian Hunter, Darren Starks even from Jeffersonville putting up some big numbers in those wins for New Albany, Jeff, and Floyd Central. And the good news is, Chad, we've got holiday basketball still forthcoming. The Silver Creek tournament is coming up. New Albany will be in Noblesville, and there are a number of other opportunities to get out and see some games coming up over the break between Christmas and New Year.
I love the holiday tournaments, Matt. But, you know, it was great to see Julian Hunter to get off the snide a little bit and have a career high. He makes New Albany go to another level. For New Albany Bulldogs to get that win at Pike after Pike had just beat a Center Grove team by 40, that's a statement win for the Bulldogs. This second half of the season is going to be outstanding. But, you know, you think about these tournaments, what a great time. You know, kids can just play basketball. That's what I loved about winter break. You don't have to worry about classes. You don't have to worry about anything else. You just get to concentrate on getting better and playing basketball for this stretch run at the second half of the year. One thing we need to do, Matt, we need to get the Hoosier Hills Hoops, Southern Indiana, Hoosier Report, holiday tournament. You know, and get these local teams around and get a great tournament together here in Southern Indiana where teams don't have to travel as much, where our fans can watch these matchups. You see the matchups like a Southwestern who beat Jeffersonville loses to Madison. So that means there are some parity. You talked about Lanesville and what they've done. You know, it'd be an opportunity for those guys to go up against some higher level competition and see where they rank that will only help them come March.
Chad Gilbert, my guest, we're talking high school basketball here to wrap up this Monday edition of the program. And I think, and maybe it was you last year, I know when Lloyd Gardner's been on with me, we always get into this as well, but you talk about holiday basketball, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. There is a need for some sort of tournament that maybe pairs great Southern Indiana teams against teams from out in the state of Indiana, or even from across the river down into Kentucky, wherever the 300-mile rule will allow you to go that the IHSA has. But if that rule would ever be changed, King of the Bluegrass over in Fairdale, it's just one of my favorite holiday traditions, and I didn't get a chance to stop over there this year, but can you imagine a tournament like that in New Albany's gym or in Jeffersonville's gym where teams not just from Indiana and some from Kentucky, but maybe a couple out-of-state teams you brought in with IU recruits or big-name players from New York or other states to play like they do there each and every year. It would just be, it'd be packed. It would be the thing to do over the holiday break, but unfortunately, rules a little different between state associations and Indiana. While there have been some things laxed a little bit in recent years, that's still not one of them.
Well, the one thing on the King of the Bluegrass is, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Matt, but it's one and done, correct? When you lose, you're over with. Is that right?
No. They have consolation. If you come in,
if
you come in town from miles away and you lose on that first day, there's a back half of the bracket, and there's the final day is 7th, 5th, 4th, 3rd, and first place championship games.
Okay. Well, the King of the Bluegrass is the most prestigious tournament to me in all of America. They do that thing right over there, and it's something for Southern Indiana fans. If you have not had a chance to go over there and see the competition that they bring in and to see the area teams that are over there, you're missing out, because they do an outstanding job with the King of the Bluegrass. If we could ever get something like that in Southern Indiana with Matt Dennison in charge, you can guarantee it would be top-notch.
I don't know about me being in charge, but there's definitely an opening for one. Chad, always great to catch up.
An opening and a need, Matt. An opening and a need.
Yes.
Something that would be very special.
Absolutely. Chad, always great to catch up. Again, you and Amy and kids enjoy Christmas. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be with us on Mondays and talk about our great game here in Southern Indiana. And the good news is, we're not even halfway through yet. We've still got a great portion of the high school and college season left, a lot of basketball to watch, and for you and I, a lot of basketball to talk about here on Mondays.
Without question, Matt. I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas, enjoys their family, enjoys their loved ones. You know, have a great day today. Matt, if you don't have anything to do, come over tonight, hang out. We got lots of Uno going.
Chad,
I've got a draw four card waiting on you.
Jason Connell coming, or no, Bob McEwen too?
Winners win. You know those, and you get a shout out to Jason Carl, the Pirates 5-2 going into the holiday tournament.
Chad, thanks so much. That's going to wrap it up for today. Have a Merry Christmas. I'll be back with you Wednesday here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.